Welcome to The Bridge Church. Our hope is that God will speak to you through this sermon, and you will walk closer with Him in your daily life. Enjoy the message, and God bless.
He stood in the midst of the scribes and Pharisees, publicans and sinners, and preached glad tidings. His preaching was full of parables, plain to those who had understanding, but often dark and mysterious, even to His own followers. For it was a judgment from the Lord upon an evil generation, that seeing they should not see, and hearing they should not perceive. Charles Spurgeon said this about the teaching of Jesus Christ. Teachers. Did you ever have a teacher that really influenced your life? Of course, we have so many blessings from our teachers in school. You know, I can read because of teachers. But do you remember back to a time when there was a particular teacher that really stood out? One teacher that got it and made an impact in your life. For me, it was in high school. There was Miss McDuffie, and she influenced me more than any other teacher. Now, she wasn't flashy. She wasn't impressive. She didn't stand out in the crowd. In fact, to the casual observer, she was pretty, unimpressive. She was even a frumpy woman with a VW bug and a kind of worn-out raincoat. Kind of like if you remember the old TV shows, a Columbo, if you will. But Miss McDuffie shared the mysteries of science and detective stories. She'd read these detective stories to us. But she had a style of teaching that made her students who wanted to listen really get involved and made an impact on those lives. I'll always be thankful to Sally McDuffie. She was my chemistry teacher, my forensics team's coach, my debate team, chess team, dance team. She taught the way she taught changed the way I thought. Teachers, and preachers for that matter, use illustrations. They use stories to illustrate what they're trying to teach. They use it to clarify or to simplify the lesson they're trying to convey. When I was youth leader, I liked object lessons. An object lesson, especially for teens, goes a long way, and it captures an imagination, and it tells a story all its own. But it supports what you're teaching. And it wasn't unusual back in Jesus' day for those teachers who were teaching the Old Testament to use parables. They would use stories to explain the Old Testament so that people could understand. Now, what about Jesus? Do you think He was a good teacher? You had all these rabbis and teachers along those times, but when Jesus came along, was He a good teacher? Now, most even non-Christians would say, yes, Jesus was a good teacher. Well, I'll go even further. He was a great teacher. In fact, He was the greatest teacher the earth has ever known. As R.C. Sproul said, not only was He the incarnation of truth, the content of His teaching was altogether impeccable, was of divine origin, not only because of the supreme content that He delivered, but also His style was extraordinary. His own contemporaries said of Him, no man has ever taught the way He does. Jesus taught with authority. He taught with power. The teaching of Jesus Christ was not superficial. Everything that Jesus said had significance. Everything that He says has meaning. Everything that Jesus says is important. Jesus is the only man who could have ever taught that way, because not only was He a man, but Jesus is God. Today we're entering a new and exciting series, Parables, Short Stories from Jesus. During the next 7 weeks, we'll concentrate on the words of Jesus Christ Himself, just as He taught. We'll learn what the Bible has to say about God's love and mercy and forgiveness. We'll talk about loss and redemption. We'll learn about the kingdom of God. How about self-righteousness and humility? We'll learn about stewardship. We'll learn even more about the kingdom of God. And finally, we'll learn about persistence in prayer. This is an exciting series. And as we study the teachings of Jesus in parables, we're starting this morning with an introduction of this type of teaching. So if you have your Bible, feel free to go ahead and turn in Matthew chapter 13 as we begin today with why parables. Or the scripture will be on your screen for you to follow. Matthew is the first chapter in the New Testament, or you can find it in the index. But there's something else I would like for you to do, if you don't mind. Something that if the Word of God impresses on you, if the Holy Spirit impresses on you, it's worthy of being written down. So grab a pen and paper. I encourage you to take notes when you hear God's teaching. You know, not that I would say anything important. Heaven forbid, I'm trying to get out of God's way. But if He says something, you may want to write that down. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your holy word. We thank You for Jesus Christ, the greatest teacher ever. Lord, we thank You that we can come and worship You this morning and study Your words. Lord, this morning I pray that You'll please open our hearts. Give us ears to hear. Lord, give us eyes to see. And Lord, may Your wisdom and Your word come through in this teaching this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, what is a parable? It's been said that a parable is a story, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Now, Jesus frequently used stories as a means of illustrating truth. These stories are easily remembered. The characters are bold and symbolism is rich. As I said before, parables were pretty common back in Jesus' day. They were used, these analogies, you might say, were things that people were familiar with, like salt and bread and sheep, and they were used to illustrate the stories. And Jesus, back in his early ministry, would use those to make clear the context of his teaching. And it was easy to follow along. But later, Jesus started using parables almost exclusively. And starting here in Matthew chapter 13, he begins to teach in parables only, exclusively. Why? Why parables? Well, you know, Jesus gives us the answer right here in chapter 13. So let's listen to a discussion between Jesus and the disciples after he tells a parable that they didn't get, they didn't understand. And so they come to him in chapter 13, verse 10. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." Say what? See, here Jesus, the greatest teacher of all time, basically says, "I'm giving you these examples because you're my disciples. But one of the reasons I teach in parables is because it actually makes clear whether the people understand the meaning of what I'm saying." You know, people enjoy a good story. Even when we're learning about God, people often relate better when the preacher gives a good illustration. An object lesson or a story can help us understand. But here Jesus wasn't telling these parables to help the people understand. These were told to show whether they understood the gospel that he was preaching or whether they didn't. Jesus divided the listeners into two groups, those who could hear and those who couldn't. So let's look at the first group, the person who hears. Certainly, everybody in that crowd that day could basically hear what Jesus was saying. They could hear the voice of Jesus. The sound waves was gathered by their ears, and it went hit the eardrum and caused the eardrum to vibrate, which caused the tiny bones in the middle ear to vibrate. Remember that from science class? And it caused the inner ear to vibrate, and where the receptacles of those nerves picked it up and went to the brain. So everybody was a hearer that day, right? Well, not exactly. Obviously, this is not what Jesus was talking about. He wasn't talking about those who just hear. He was talking about those who would hear and understand. If you're a parent of any child over, say, the age of 2, you understand what I'm talking about. For instance, when Billy was younger, there would be times like, Billy, make sure you make your bed in the morning or I'll help you do it. And then sometimes the next morning, guess what? My perfectly formed son with really good ears couldn't hear what I said. So go in and strip the bed for him completely so he had a good start. Guess what? It improved his hearing considerably. See, here Jesus isn't talking about people who just hear. He's talking about people who hear, understand, and obey. Just as a side note, this you might find this interesting. There's something interesting in the Greek. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can read. There's a word called akouē. Akouē is the Greek word for hearing. Akouē, hearing. Now, the Greek word for obedience is hupaokouē. Hupaokouē. So it includes the word akouē, and then there's this hupa, which means super. So it's like super hearing. So obedience is the deliberate act of hearing and obeying. Jesus was looking for those who truly hear. So Jesus uses these parables to probe to see whether we really understand the gospel or whether the gospel is impacting our lives and transforming our lives. There's even more. In verse 12, he says, whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. To those who really want to listen, who really want to hear the voice of God, these parables unlock the mysteries of the kingdom of God, as only God can reveal. Those on the other end, who had ears to hear, can understand even more. It's like code talkers of World War I, World War II. If you've seen stories about those, the U.S. military would get Native Americans and they would communicate in their own voices or in their own native languages, things that the enemy couldn't understand. So they would talk in their own language, and those who had ears to hear on the other side would hear from them and they would receive the message. And so special instructions were given intended for their ears only. If you really want to hear, Jesus wants to tell you even more. This is an exciting time. It's an exciting opportunity, and God has plans for you to be here at this time right now. See? Could be the lightning. Or not. What about the others? What about those who do not have ears to hear? The person who does not hear? We'll continue reading in verse 14. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For the people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. In this statement, Jesus is quoting God's word from many years as he reminds the disciples of a very important point. While God wants everyone to love him and follow him, we have a choice. We each have a free will, which means we can make choices. When we choose not to obey God, what's that called? That's called sin. Yet when we choose to follow God, we can. We can choose to follow God because God does not make robots. He does not pre-program us to do only his will. If he made us follow him, if he made us worship him, then our love and our affection and our worship would be meaningless to him. So Jesus is reminding his followers here that there are those who have continually rejected his message, and now they live in spiritual blindness. They can't understand the meaning of the message. He's made a clear distinction between those who have ears to hear and those who continued in unbelief, ever hearing but never understanding, ever seeing but never perceiving. But the disciples have been given the gift of spiritual discernment, by which the things of the Spirit were made clear to them, because they accepted Jesus. They accepted his teaching. And so they were given more and more truth. The same is true today of believers. We as believers have been given the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit helps us. He's known as the Helper. And he helps us understand. We've seen this throughout the Bible, that there are people who turn their back from God and they don't understand. You know, let me be perfectly clear here. God loves you more than you can imagine. He will not force you to accept him. He'll let you have your own way. You can look at the Egyptian Pharaoh, where it said that he hardened his heart against God, and God allowed him to continue to harden his heart. People throughout time have turned their back on God, and their heart gets harder, and their hearing gets dimmer, to where they just will never hear the voice of God again. Jesus was explaining that even though he wished they would truly listen so he could heal their hearts, he understood that truth is not sweet music to all ears. It's sad. In fact, it's tragic, but it's true. There are many people here today, watching this morning, that have no interest in God. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. So why did Jesus speak in parables? To those who hunger, who have a genuine hunger from God, the parable is a way of sharing deeper truth. The Lord's parables contain volumes of very few words. His parables are rich in imagery, and they're not easily forgotten. So then the parable is a blessing to those who have ears to hear. But to those who have dull hearts, and to those who are slow to hear, the parable is an instrument of both judgment and mercy. Judgment because it conceals more than it reveals, causing conviction in your heart. But mercy because the word of God is not completely withdrawn, leaving hope for those who might have a desire to hear more from God. This morning, if you're a child of God, I'm asking you to pray. Pray for God to use the Holy Spirit, not just this morning, but throughout this series. You ask the Holy Spirit to, inside of you, to give you a deeper thirst to hear more of the kingdom, a deeper thirst for knowledge and insight into his wonderful kingdom. Also, please pray for those who don't have an ear to hear. There are so many people who could be blessed, but they have no interest. Please pray for them. This morning, if you're not a child of God, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. Today, if you hear his voice, let him in. God loves you so much that he would do anything to spend time with you. Yet he won't force you. John 3:16 tells us that God loves you so much that he gave his one and only Son. That if you would believe in him, you can have eternal life. If you would have ears to hear from God, He's calling you. The only way to do that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus told us in John 3:3 that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. In John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The way to hear from God is through Jesus Christ. The way to find peace is through Jesus. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess and are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Look, I know this is very personal, but it's supposed to be. If you feel an urging from God this morning, that's the Holy Spirit. It means He's calling you. He's calling you to enrich your life, to show more mysteries to you, but to have a relationship with you, to start right now, this morning. Is there any reason that you should wait? Pray with me right now. But it's not the prayer. It's the position of your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm not perfect, that I'm a sinner, that I've closed my heart to you before and I've turned away. But Lord, this morning, I'm asking that you give me those ears to hear. Help me to hear from you, Lord. Father, I'm asking that you please forgive me of my sins as I turn away from them and I turn to you. Lord, please be my Savior and my guide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the sermon. We will have new messages uploaded each week on our website at thebridgefxbg.org and all social media platforms. Have a blessed week, and remember, always be a bridge.